Bill, twice in the big book, talks about a fourth dimension of existence, far, far beyond the normal three, a fourth dimension that we never dreamed existed. And we believe the purpose of the last three steps is to continue our growth into a new dimension of living. Oh, we've made a tremendous amount of spiritual growth through the first nine steps. But if we try to stop there, we're probably going to lose it. Let's look at the last three steps now for just a little bit. And let's see if we can't see the growth factor rather than just the maintenance factor in the last three steps, Joe.
You know, one thing we did as a fellowship is we took these steps out of the book and we put them on these little cards and we put them on the walls in the meetings. I like them on the cards, not on the walls. Nothing against that. The only one thing wrong with all that is that we left the instructions on how to work the steps in the book. And people come into AA and they want to work the steps off the wall with no instructions. And somehow in our area, I don't know about here, I'd rather think I do, but step 10 says continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And at face value said if we continue to take a little inventory, and if we were wrong, we promptly admitted it, then we were doing the intent of step 10. And somehow or other, we got the idea that you do that step 10 at night.
When you go to bed.
In bed. And Charlie and I have discussed this in great detail. We don't get in trouble at night in bed much anymore.
Well, I keep telling him to speak for himself.
Right. What we need is a daytime walking around step. That's what we need. And step 10 is more, a lot more than just admitting we were wrong and promptly admitting it. Let's see if it's a lot more than that. He said, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take a personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit.
We've had a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening. We've entered the world of the Spirit.
Our next function is to grow.
To grow, not maintain, not stay where we are, but to grow.
In understanding and effectiveness. Now, this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear.
What step did we use to look at that in the first place? Anybody remember?
Step four,
okay.
When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove.
What steps did we use there?
Six and seven.
Six and seven, okay.
We discuss them with someone immediately.
What step was that?
Five.
And make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone.
What steps did we use there? Eight and nine. Okay.
Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
Now, it looks to me like if we work step 10, the way the big book says to work it, we're going to be doing steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 every day for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's where the growth came from in the first place. There wasn't any growth in 1 and 2. There wasn't any real growth in 3. It was just a decision. The growth started with step 4. Now, those growth steps that gave us the promises, if we continue to apply them in our daily life, then we're going to continue to grow also.
Mm-hmm.
I would defy anybody in this room to do step 10 the way the big book says to do it and stay the way you are. You absolutely cannot do that. You know, I've got that inventory sheet right up here in my head, all four of them. I can see them up here just as plain as day. And when I get screwed up about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, if I wait till I go to bed at night to do something about that, by 11 o'clock, I've cussed somebody out. By 12 o'clock, two or three people have cussed me out. And by bedtime, I'm a basket case. What I have finally learned to do is this. I get screwed up, say, at 10 o'clock. I finally learned to say, okay, Charlie, get over in the corner here now by yourself and get away from these people. And let's take a look at this situation and see what's going on. I say, who are you mad at? What did they do to you? Which part of self is affected? What did you do, if anything, to set it in motion? Which character defect has come back to the surface? I cannot get upset unless one of those character defects in column 5 has come back to the surface. I spot it immediately. I turn right around. I ask God to take it away. I say, God, you know I don't want to be this way. Please take away this fear or this selfishness or this inconsideration, whatever it is. Discuss it with somebody else as soon as I can, preferably my sponsor. make amends quickly if I've harmed someone, in a matter of a few minutes, it's gone. And the rest of the day is okay. I've wasted about all the days I want to waste in resentment and fear and anger and worry and etc. I love to feel good. I want to feel good every moment that I can, every day for the rest of my life. This is the way we can do this. We don't have to waste any more time. Notice the words that he uses. He said, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. He didn't say we ask him after we go to bed at night. He said at once. We discuss them with someone immediately. He didn't say 4 hours later. As soon as we possibly can. And make amends quickly if we've harmed someone. And we can get that out of our head, go on about our business, and the rest of the day is okay. I defy anybody to do step 10 the way the big book says to do it and stay the way you are. You absolutely cannot do that. But be careful now. This step is just like step 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy into this idea, that means from now on, you are responsible for the way you feel, for the way you act, and for the things that you do. If I'm running around full of resentment, it's not their fault, it's mine. If I'm running around full of fear and not enjoying today, it's not their fault, it's mine. Because I have a way here to get rid of that almost immediately. And it's time for us to start taking responsibility for our own feelings, for our own emotions, for our own behavior. And this is what we learn to do through step 6, 7, and now step 10. You see, we didn't have to take a perfect inventory in step 4. Because we're going to be using this step every day for the rest of our lives. We learn more and more about ourselves. We learn more and more about other people. Our relationship with God, ourselves, and other human beings become better and better and better and better and better. Help.
I'm glad I learned one thing, a lot of things, but especially I'm glad I learned it's my fault, not theirs. Because what if it was their fault? There's not a thing in the world I could do about it. And they wouldn't probably help me at all. It is my fault, and there is something I can do about that, which is work these steps. More promises, though. He said, we cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. Remember, in step 1 says that we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2 was a solution. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, we get our sanity back on page 84. For by this time, sanity will have returned. And when our sanity has returned, let's see what happens then. We'll be seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We'll find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor had been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We're not even sworn off.
I've never quit drinking.
No.
I just don't drink one day at a time. I've never sworn off.
Mm-hmm. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And remember back on page 45, it said that the main object of this book was to enable me to find a power greater than myself which would solve my problem. It didn't say it would help me solve my problem. Find the power, and the power will solve the problem. And I looked up one day, and I used to have a terrible obsession to drink. Those times that I didn't drink, I'd be thumbing through a magazine, and I'd see a bottle of liquor in one of those magazines. My mouth would water just looking at it. Not even drink, just looking at it. Charlie said I slobbered a lot. But, you know, after working these steps up to this point, I realized after some months of working these steps, I looked up one day and it was gone. That obsession to drink was gone. That's the miracle of it. It was just gone. So somewhere between 45 and 85, I got my sanity back, you see, and the problem has been removed. It's not there.